This morning, I'm going to lead you in a time of public repentance. For those of you who are visiting with us, you just happened to get in on this. For those of you who have been here, I have given you fair warning so that you could stay away. You didn't want to repent. By the fact that you are here this morning, I take that as evidence that God has done something in your life and that you're ready to move on with God on this last Sunday of the new year. I have struggled with this. I have struggled with this service more than I have struggled with any service that I have ever prepared in the 23 years that I've been here. I essentially secluded myself for 2 days this last week and did something that I have never done before, which is to write out everything I'm going to say. And in the process of that, to write and rewrite and to pray over literally each sentence in this. But I sense this is an epic time. And by epic, I mean a time in our lives to where you pass through a gate with a door that closes behind you. And you will not go back to where you have been. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes over a series of prayers to join me. We'll have the aspect of being very formal and almost liturgical in what I do. But I believe there can be power and life in this as God breathes power and life into you through His Word. So I'm trusting God to do that. And I am simply being obedient to what I believe God has told me to do. Bernie May, who is the president of Wycliffe Bible Translators, once told me a wonderful little story about an experience with an old Indian chief when Bernie was a jungle pilot in the Amazon jungle of Peru. He said the Indian had left his family to go on a hunting trip into the deep jungle. He had been gone for more than a week, out alone with just his bow and arrows, looking for meat to feed his family. Bernie said he had flown his little pontoon airplane into the jungle settlement, landing on the great river that ran beside the village to bring supplies to the Bible translator who lived there. He had arrived just a few hours before the hunter returned from his trip. He said he had known the chief for a number of years and was looking forward to seeing him. And when the old Indian came in from the jungle, he was dragging with him the carcass of a large puma, a jungle tiger. And dropping the carcass in front of his hut, he did the strangest thing. Instead of immediately greeting his wife or even speaking to Bernie, who was his guest, he dropped the carcass and then went over to an old tree stump and sat down on the tree stump, resting his chin in his hand, and he sat there, head down, eyes closed, for 3 hours, unmoving. And at the end of the time, he got up, went into his hut, greeted his wife, saw his visitor, threw his arms around Bernie, and greeted him as well. Later, Bernie asked the Bible translator who lived there what the Indian was doing. And the translator said he was closing. What do you mean, closing? He said, well, he was recalling all the details of his hunting trip. Before getting involved in all the new things going on in the village, he needed to close the door on the old things. And so he sat down and recalled every detail of the trip. In his mind, he retraced his steps from the moment he left until the moment he arrived back, remembering each tiny detail, where he'd spent the night, how he'd crossed the stream, how he'd made his shelter, the snake that he almost stepped on, how he had stalked the puma for 3 days, where he had fired his arrows and had missed, and where those arrows had landed, and how he made his way back home. And once he had recalled all the events of the trip, down to the last detail, he then closed the door in his mind. But he knew better than to open the door to the present and the future until he had made closure on the past. Well, ever since Bernie told me that story, I've been practicing the fine art of closing. of making closure. And this morning, I want to help you do that spiritually. The Bible has a word for it. The word is repentance. Before we face the new year, before we open the door on God's new decade of the 90s and all the wonderful things that God has in store for us, we need to close out the old, especially the sin in our life. We don't talk much about sin, but it's there. And this morning we're going to close the door on it. Most of us know the difference between right and wrong. One of the reasons we have problems doing right and thinking right, however, is that we never really repent. That is, we never really close the door on the sin, the things that we have done wrong in the past. For Christmas, my children got together and gave Jackie and myself a new ice maker to go in the freezer of our 12-year-old refrigerator. The old ice maker, thanks to Palm Bay water, had rusted out years ago. We still had the ice crusher, however, which was a bucket that caught the ice when it was made, and then a metal auger, which is a heavy metal coil which pushed the ice cubes through the bucket, through the opening in the door, and out into your little glass. It was still working, but it was badly rusted. The metal auger was rusted, and I knew if we used it with the new ice cubes out of the ice making machine that the ice cubes would all be rusted at the same time. So I went down to the store and I bought a special kind of epoxy paint to paint the auger. But the instructions on the can were explicit. Before painting the metal, get rid of the rust. Otherwise, no matter how much paint you put on, the rust will bleed through. And so that meant an hour of sitting down with a hand grinder and sandpaper and removing the rust off of this strange kind of metal coil so I could then give it a glossy coat of epoxy paint, and now it's working fine. Most of us in our spiritual lives paint over without removing the rust. This morning, I'm going to lead you in a time of rust removal, of closing the door on your sin, a time of formal repentance. Now, the theme scripture that the Lord has given me for this service is Jeremiah 33:8. Jeremiah 33:8. Mark it down or look it up, either way. It's a single scripture. Jeremiah 33:8, in which God says, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me. Jeremiah 33:8, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. I will cleanse them of all the sin they have committed against me and forgive them of all the sins of rebellion they have committed against me. Now, let me remind you what repentance is. I've been preaching on this all during the month of December, but I need to go back and remind you what repentance is. Basically, repentance is two things. It is turning away from something evil and ungodly, number one, and number two, it is turning to God's plan and purpose for your life. Here's what Paul had to say about repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. You'll finish it with no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I'm going to list 10 areas of sin, basically following the passage in Exodus 20 that we call the Ten Commandments. I'm going to list 10 areas of sin. There are many more. And then at the end, I'm going to list one more area, the area of your secret or specific sins. I'm going to mention each area. I'm going to tell you a few things that the Bible has to say about that. And then I'm going to ask you at the close of each of those areas, to stand with me and to pray, repeat a formal prayer of repentance for your sins. I'm going to lead these prayers phrase by phrase. If there's any phrase you cannot honestly repent of, that you cannot honestly say, then you should remain silent in that area until you can get to the next area that you can say with sincerity. Some of the areas will not apply to you, so you will not have to repent of those things. Other areas will apply to you so greatly that you don't want to repent of those things. For instance, in one area, I'm going to ask you to repent of holding grudges. In another, I'll ask you to repent of not tithing your income to God. I'll ask you to repent of eating unhealthy food. Those of you who just came out of the little fellowship time, I know who you are. But if you're not genuinely sorry for these or other areas, and if you're not willing to obey God going into the new year, then simply don't repeat those words. Or if it doesn't apply to you, I'm going to ask you to repent of smoking and the use of tobacco. Now, if that doesn't apply to you, then don't repent of it. But if it does, mean business with God. And if you can't mean business with God, then just don't say anything when we get to that specific area. It's bad enough to disobey. It's far worse to be hypocritical about it. And so you're free to go any way you want to with this, because it's God who reads your heart, not me nor anyone else. Now, repeating the prayer does not mean that you're going to be perfect in 1990, nor does it mean that you will not fail, nor does it mean that you won't sin again. Somebody asked me after the first service, can we have these things printed up so that I can read them every day? I have a feeling I'm going to need to do this every day in 1990. I said, okay, we'll print them up for you. It does mean, however, that you recognize that you have sinned in the past and that you are now repenting of that sin and that you now receive God's forgiveness for the sin. We're going to close with a time of communion around the Lord's table, and then we're going to finish this up with a time of praise as God lifts the burden off your heart, and you'll be able to praise Him free and unencumbered from the weight of sin because you have repented and because you have been forgiven. Now, I'm going to begin by praying a prayer out of the Scripture, a prayer that God gave me as I was spending time preparing this. I'm going to pray Nehemiah's prayer of repentance, found in Nehemiah 1. Now, I've altered it slightly to fit this church, but God told me that I, as the overseer of this church, was to pray this prayer for you. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads while I pray for you. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of the Tabernacle Church. I confess the sins we Christians, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses, nor the ones you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers of repentance and give us mercy through Jesus. Amen. I'm going to list 10 areas. The first area is the area of sins against God. You shall have no other gods before me is the first of the commandments. We need to repent of rebellion against God. In Psalm 78, we read of the children of Israel who continued to sin against God, rebelling in the desert and demanding the food they craved. We need to repent of demanding things of God, even good things. We need to repent of unbelief. The Bible says unbelief is the greatest of all the sins. In Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, the people took offense at him. Jesus could not do any miracles in Nazareth except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed, the scripture says, at their lack of faith. John says that Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We need to repent of self-righteousness. We need to repent of disobedience. "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments." We need to repent for not trusting God as the first love in our life. We need to repent for blaming God for the bad things that happen to us. He said of Job, after all the bad things happened to him, that in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I want you to please stand and repeat after me, phrase by phrase, the first prayer of repentance. God, I confess I have put other things in front of you. I repent of my unbelief. I repent for rebelling against you. I repent of demanding things from you. I repent for blaming you for evil things. I repent for constantly disobeying you. I repent for not loving you with all my heart. Please forgive me. Give me a new love for you. Amen. Please be seated. The second area is the area of worshiping idols. While most of us do not carve idols and bow before them, we're all idol worshipers. We need to repent for worshiping things. We need to repent of our greed and of our love for money. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Please stand and repeat after me. I confess I have bowed down before other gods. I repent of my love of money. I repent for being greedy and wanting more than you want me to have. I repent for worshiping material things. I ask you to forgive me and give me a heart only for you. Please be seated. Now, in this same area of worshiping idols, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance and renouncing any contact you have had with Satan or the evil underworld. Many of you have had either conscious or unconscious contact with Satan or his demons or the agents he has placed here. Now is the time to renounce that and to put it aside. This will not apply to all of you, but it will apply to many. And if you have had any contact with any of the following things I'm going to mention, I want you to stand as I mention those areas. All of you will not stand, but those of you where these areas apply, I want you to be brave enough and courageous enough and desperate enough to stand and repent and renounce. You do not need to be embarrassed at this particular time, because many of us have had contact, either conscious or unconscious. But if any time during your life you have had contact in these areas and you have not repented of those things, this morning is the time to do it. So as I mention these areas, if one of them applies to you, please stand and remain standing. Satan worship. The occult in any form. The New Age movement. Witchcraft, either black or white. Magic. Ouija boards. Tarot cards. Fortune tellers. Horoscopes. Satanic games, such as Dungeons and Dragons, or any others. Or if you've listened to evil music, which glorifies Satan and demons. Or if you've enjoyed watching satanic television programs or movies. Now, if there's any other areas of Satan contact or Satan worship that I've missed, that you've been involved with, you don't need to call it out, but I ask you to stand at this time. And for those of you standing, I ask you to repeat after me. I repent of all contact I've had with Satan. I rebuke his evil influence. I repent of Satan worship. The occult, the New Age movement, witchcraft, magic, Ouija boards, tarot cards, fortune tellers, horoscopes, all satanic games. I repent of listening to evil music and watching satanic programs. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke Satan's power. I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The third area are sins against God's name. Scripture says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Much of our sinning is done with our mouth. James talks about the necessity of taming our tongue. The tongue is a fire, he says. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. We need to repent of all the sins of our mouth. Filthy language, cursing, using God's name in vain, complaining, gossip, that is, telling stories about others which can only bring harm and not healing. Idle chatter, putting curses on others, speaking negative words, telling our children one thing and doing another. We need to repent of saying God told us to do certain things when it wasn't God at all. We need to repent of breaking our word and not keeping contracts. Jesus said our yea should be yea and our nay should be nay. We should be people of our word. We need to repent of writing bad checks and not paying our bills. When young Isaiah was praying in the temple, he had a vision of a six-winged seraphs, little angels. And they were worshiping God and calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And instantly Isaiah fell to his knees and he wept, "Woe to me! I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. but you touched my mouth. And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Please stand and repeat after me. God, I confess I am a person with unclean lips. I repent of cursing, using vulgar language, taking your name in vain. I repent of breaking my word and harming others with gossip. I repent of not living out what I talk. I ask you to forgive me and to give me a clean mouth. Amen. Be seated, please. The fourth area is the area of sins against the things that God calls holy. God told the children of Israel to hold certain things holy and sacred. Among them was the Sabbath day. We need to repent of not resting one day a week for working all the time, for not remembering God in a special way on that day, and for not meeting with the body of Christ regularly. Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We should repent for the misuse of our physical body. That was one of the reasons God called the Sabbath holy. Not just so the people would pause and remember him, but so their body could be renewed and rest. We must repent of anything that destroys the body, which the Bible calls the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this includes overeating, poor eating habits, smoking and the use of tobacco, using drugs, the excessive use of alcohol. We should repent of our compulsive work habits. We should also repent of laziness. For while the Bible commands us to keep one day holy, we're commanded to work hard 6 days of the week. We should repent of being poor stewards of our time, wasting time on things that have no value. Junk television, senseless video games, not taking care of the things that God has given us, nonsense reading and movies. We should repent of being poor stewards of our possessions. Please stand and repeat after me. God, you have blessed me with many things. I repent of being a poor steward. I repent of not keeping a personal Sabbath. I repent of not taking care of my body. I repent of poor eating habits. I repent for using tobacco. I repent for misusing drugs and alcohol. I repent of wasting time. Please forgive me. Make me a good steward of all I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The fifth area is the area of sins against family. The only commandment that carries with it is the promise of long life is this one, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We must repent for sins against our fathers and mothers, against our children, and against close family members. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We should repent for not caring for the poor, the homeless, the elderly, the widows, and the orphans in our community. This is the sin of not caring. Please stand and repeat after me. God, you have set us all in families. I repent for dishonoring my father and mother, for hurting my children, for not caring about brothers and sisters. I repent for not caring about elderly people. I repent for not caring for the poor, the homeless, the sick, widows and orphans. Please forgive me. Give me a caring heart. Amen. Please be seated. The sixth commandment deals with the sins of attitude. And it says simply, you shall not murder. Jesus goes far beyond that and says, I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. We should repent of sins of attitude toward one another. Hate, anger, holding grudges, and unforgiveness. We should repent of all vengeance that we hold. God says in Hebrews 8:12, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We must repent of wishing people evil and of all jealousy. And Galatians 5 says we should repent of all sins of violence. Please stand and repeat after me. God, I know you want me to live at peace with all men. I repent of my anger, of hating others, for holding grudges, for unforgiveness, for hoping others will have hard times, for jealousy, for all violent thought and action. I repent of doing anything which hurts others. Please forgive me and make me kind and gentle. Amen. Please be seated. The seventh area deals with sins of the flesh. We live in a sexually oriented world. And while we should be thankful we're no longer under the law, yet we have taken advantage of our liberty that God allows between the sexes. Especially is this true among our young people. And while God gives great liberty, He also sets certain standards. And we should repent of all sexual sins. Lust, deviant behavior, including homosexuality, loose sexual standards, disobedience to God's command concerning sexual purity. We should repent of the powerful hold we've let pornography have on our lives. You should repent of any sin against your spouse. You should repent of your insensitivity toward your spouse, of seeking self-pleasure rather than seeking your spouse's pleasure. You should repent of an uncaring spirit, of thinking or wishing for a divorce, and of self-centeredness in your relationship with others. Please stand and repeat after me. God, I know you created me to walk in purity. I repent of any sexual sin which displeases you. I repent of all sin against my spouse. I repent of my self-centeredness, of seeking self-pleasure. Please forgive me. Help me to live by your standard. Amen. Please be seated. The Eighth Commandment simply says you shall not steal. Stealing is taking that which does not belong to you without first receiving permission. Paul says, let him who stole steal no more. If you have something that belongs to someone else, you should repent of that and return it. I had to return Brooks Watson's gloves this last week. God says we steal from him when we do not tithe. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how do we rob you? This is a quote from Malachi. In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, all of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. We should repent of robbing God by not tithing our income, by not giving 10% of all we receive to God in a special way. Please stand and repeat after me. I repent for anything I have taken that does not belong to me. I also repent for robbing you by not being a good steward of my money. I repent for being stingy, for not trusting you with my money, for not tithing. Please forgive me. Place in me a giving spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The ninth area is the area of sins of dishonesty. The commandment says you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We should repent of all lying and dishonest action. Students should repent of cheating in class. Adults should repent of cheating on tax returns and breaking the law, including the speed limit. We should repent of taking advantage of others. We should repent for not being good neighbors. Please stand and repeat after me. God, I know you want me to be honest in all things. I repent of any lie I have told, of all dishonest action. I repent of any false report I have given. I repent for broken promises. Please forgive me. Help me live an honest life. Amen. You may be seated. The final area is in the area of sins of greed. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. And I will take a bit of liberty with the scripture as I paraphrase it from that point on. You shall not wish your family was like your neighbor's family, or your spouse like your neighbor's spouse, nor your children like your neighbor's children. You shall not covet his belongings, clothing, new fishing boat, sports car, fancy stereo and compact disc player, money, spare time, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God wants us to be content with all we have. We should repent of the sin of discontentment. We should repent of the sin of greed. Please stand and repeat after me. God, I confess I am discontent with what I have. I repent of that sin. I repent of wanting what others have. Please forgive me. Amen. Please be seated. Now, there are other things which each of you need to repent of. These are the sins of omission, the things you should do but don't, the sins of commission, the things you do that you should not do. And then there's your secret sins and the sins of your mind. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. David prayed, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. I'm going to ask you to remain seated and to spend a moment in quiet prayer. I'm asking the Lord to bring to the surface of your mind those secret things that are known only by you and by Him, that you may examine them and repent of them. Please repeat after me as you remain seated. God, look deep into my mind and heart. I repent of all things which displease you. Amen. Now, I realize this has been a bit heavy. And there's no way to go back and shovel the stable without getting some of it on you at the same time. Stables need to be cleaned out occasionally and washed and disinfected. Atonement is a beautiful word. Atonement means God has paid the price for your sin. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin, to atone for your sin. There's a Hebrew word for it, and the word is tashlik. And it means, thou shalt cast into the seas. The old Jews had an ancient ceremony for this. It began on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, or the beginning of the Jewish New Year. And at that time, the shofar, the ram's horn, is sounded, signifying the beginning of the New Year. And then, following the service, comes the ceremony of tashlik, the symbolic casting of sins into running water. And the congregation would leave the synagogue and would go out to a river or a stream. And there the people would recite special prayers of repentance. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And may you cast all the sins of your people, the house of Israel, into a place where they shall be no more remembered or visited or ever come to mind. And then the rabbi would stand and he would read from Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. And while the rabbi is reading from Micah, the people would go to the edge of the water, and there they would turn their pockets inside out, and they would shake into the water all of the breadcrumbs or the lint or trash or debris which were in their pockets, and it would fall into the running stream and be carried away by the flow of the water into the sea. Now, we're not meeting this morning by a flowing stream, but I want to testify to you that there is another stream far greater which washes away our sin. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. Makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.